I wear no underwear.
That's more horrifying.
The teachings to
let the world be beige.
Out of character, is it just me or are you guys also getting Castle D'Amberville flashback?
Can you trust me as you have for months now for 10 more minutes while we get to safety?
Chapter 35. Adri, you have some splaining to do.
Okay. So, things had gotten quite interesting last session. You guys had attempted to make it over into the ruined palace, only to have Adri pitch off of the bridge and end up in the water with a giant crocodile, which in itself turned into a very near affair. However, you were able to dispatch the giant crocodile, save Adri from its clutches, and get everybody back up to the surface, only to find out that Adri is not exactly what she seems. Whole sections of her skin seem to have sloughed off, and you guys have only now realized that that was all makeup. And all the time that she would spend in the mornings doing her makeup and having to run and touch up after battles and things like that all of a sudden makes sense. Underneath that, you know, pink perfect skin that she always showed you is a dark black skin. And all of a sudden, it makes sense. She is not, in fact, a half-elf. She is a drow. Okay, now, and as we left, Alistair and Arlen, you being half-elven, have had many stories about your, from your parents on what the drow are like. And they have informed you about how they are always evil and pernicious and chaotic. Yes. Okay, please put yourselves on the grid where you're starting out just in case combat ensues.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, Arlen, Alistair, you've drawn your weapons in surprise. What are you going to do? You're obviously facing a drow who has been in disguise this whole time in the middle of your party. You can't even imagine why. Is she some sort of spy that's here to sabotage you, or what? And shock silence fills the air.
Whoever was looking at their stunned expressions with a whole lot of, in his draconic eyes. looks at Adri and says,
they just drew their weapons while they're facing Adri.
Shivering with my hands up. Just near-death experience.
Are they staring at her specifically?
Oh, they're staring at her specifically.
Okay. Well, one, I'll step past Adri. You got something on your skin. and I'll stand in front of her and like, what's going on?
Arlen? Alistair, why are you staring like that?
She's clearly drow.
Gesundheit.
Drows are evil devil worshippers.
I'm half drow.
I'm gonna.
Gesundheit to you too.
My sacred weapon channel divinity.
Huh?
For the funds. I'm gonna activate my sacred weapon channel divinity so it my Warhammer glows with bright light, and it's magic, you know. Even more magic-y.
You guys,
excitedly put my hands up.
I'm like, you're the paladin. You should be able to detect good from evil. Try it.
Have I done anything evil?
You haven't. That's why it's confusing.
And you go with a tiefling easily enough?
I've never heard of you.
I have red eyes and horns.
You don't even go here.
You don't even go here.
I'm like, so I have demonic heritage. You're fine. She's slain monsters for us. We're fine. You should know good from evil. Of course, you deserted your monastery. Maybe you're the evil one. We went to your home and found it overrun with undead.
Gerbil's just shaking his head very confusedly. But I have my shield at the ready and my flails dangling at my side, but in my hand.
Passed down through the generations, drow have been evil creatures who are always up to no good, causing blood sacrifices to their... is Lotha a female or...
Lotha's a female.
Female, yes. She's always...
To
the Dark Queen.
Lady? Yeah.
Dark Lady, yes.
I don't know anything about any of that, but she has not done anything to us as of yet, and I will not convict her on crimes that may occur.
I ran away from home for a reason.
I've encountered more human evil people than good. Should I not slay every town that we come around? Hypocrite.
So, Alistair and Arlen, now that the shock has worn off and you've had a chance to view her more clearly, drows are supposed to have skin of onyx black, and you can't help but notice that hers is more dusky black under the makeup. And she does have eyes of the palest blue.
Dark gray instead of black.
Well, it's almost black, but it's not quite. And charcoal's a good one, yes. And even though her hair is drowish white, now that you've had a chance to examine it a little closely, it does resemble more blonde, you know, platinum blonde, like she's always passed it off to be. And her eyes are of the palest steel blue. And you've never heard of a drow having eyes that color. So you can at least believe that she's half human. But you need a much bigger explanation for what's going on.
So are you going to use your brains, or are we going to have a throwdown right now?
Dianek teaches us to protect life. You seem ready to jump and destroy it based on nothing yet.
You are torn, Alistair, because yes, your teachings of Alistair are for mercy and for healing.
The teachings of Alistair.
The teachings to Alistair.
Let the world be beige.
But at the same time, you've never heard of a good drow ever. You've only ever heard of them causing chaos and suffering.
I really don't want to hurt you at all, ever.
So I look at you and I say, if you strike, I will kill you, even if it means the end of me.
I don't want anyone to fight over this.
I will kill
you. Lower your weapons and we'll talk about it.
You put your weapons away, guys?
I turn it out of the way.
Considering where we are at right now, this may not be the best time to have this
matter.
Conversation.
These guys drew the weapons. And we know how your sorcery points.
Can you trust me as you have for months now for 10 more minutes while we get to safety?
Yes, I believe I can.
Yes.
So do you guys want to go find another walled-off courtyard or something to...
We need something more than a walled-off courtyard. Yeah. We need time right now. We don't.
I'm not the aggressor. It's like making weird hands and...
I'm not the one who drew a weapon on our colleague.
Your weapons are always drawn, though.
Right, is there anywhere nearby that we can go?
Probably the best thing you can find, once again, it would be the tumble-down ruin courtyard or something that you could hole up in really quick.
All right, well.
So when we're there, I beseech the paladin.
I'm not really in a position to be a leader right now.
So I say, you should be able to know good from evil. Isn't that what you goodly types do? Check. Doesn't your god grant you this ability?
Yeah, but
she used very specific
ones, and that's a spell slot, and I use those to get the ability.
Alistair?
That wasn't in character.
Alistair, interestingly enough, you do have one spell slot left. You feel that energy inside you. So do you wish to hole up in a courtyard real quick?
Do I have
it? Yes.
Yes. Do I
yes,
have
you
that
do.
Prepared automatically?
Yes, you do.
I
It would take you all 2 minutes to swap it out.
No, it takes a long rest.
I think that's the point, is he's trying to say.
Well,
you, yes, you do have it now. Right now.
I do have it now.
Yes.
Yes, right now.
Your god is telling you to cast.
Do it. Okay. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Casting magic missile.
What does good mean do?
It detects good or evil.
Place your hand upon the woman's brow and check.
It's a you are here. Yes, give us a reading on detect good and evil.
The spell didn't work.
No, it's good. How do you dispel evil?
I don't know. It's a spell. It's a fifth level spell.
It's a fifth level spell for you?
For the duration, you know if there is an aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, fiend, or undead within 30 feet of you, as well as where they are located.
That's detect good and evil?
Yes.
Well, I'm half fey.
So or detect alignment, maybe.
Maybe that's not a spell, though.
That's a fifth level spell for you?
That's like a first, second level, or first level spell for me.
Yeah, that is a first level spell.
Oh, this is a fifth level spell.
Oh, no. Dispel good and evil is a fifth level spell. Oh. And I don't want to dispel...
Well, what's the good side of detect good and evil?
Celestials.
Oh.
Yeah, it's for tracking, like, otherworldly
to know
good
if they're
bad,
there.
Yeah.
Fae,
good or bad.
Some of the time.
I mean...
Oh, there's another way. There's another way, but I need to rest to do it, I think. Let me check.
My god.
Look at her. Never mind.
It's so painful.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, I can. Cool. Yeah, I just need a chance to rest. I could put this all to... I can make this very much easier, but I need a chance to rest and garner back Dianic's power.
Okay.
But I can at least make this a lot less of an issue.
What are you gonna use?
Nothing right now. I need to rest first.
No, but what are you going
into? Zone of truth.
Zone of truth? Ah, very good. So
come on, you too.
So Kernville, why don't you suggest that to the group?
I can make this a lot easier for everybody. I'm saying now in character. But I need time for Dianic's power to restore him within me, and then we can, with your permission, question
absolutely,
her.
Absolutely, I don't want
but
to
if you, regardless, if you do not like her, if you do not like her answers, it's still the truth. And if I feel that she is innocent, I will defend her as well. So let us find some place to hide and rest and recover.
Is that satisfactory for you too?
Yes.
Satisfactory.
Okay. Interestingly enough, Grinville, so instead of Alistair feeling the extra spell slot up here, by the time you guys have set up camp, you feel the magical energies of Dianic coursing through you, and you feel as if you can cast that.
Okay. So do you want the actual spell specifics?
Yeah, give us the spell specifics.
That.
Then you shouldn't have asked for me to ask.
Zone of truth between magical.
You're not casting it. 15 foot radius sphere centered on a point of your choice within range. Until the spell ends, a creature that enters the spell area for the first time on a turn or starts a turn there must make a charisma saving throw. On a failed save, a creature can't speak a deliberate lie while in the radius. You know whether each creature succeeds or fails on a saving throw. An affected creature is aware of the spell and can thus avoid answering questions to which it would normally respond with a lie. Such a creature can be evasive in its answers as long as it remains within the boundaries of the truth.
Okay. So
if she's willing to do this,
yeah,
I think we can forego the save.
Yeah, you can automatically fail the saving throw. And
with the bright lights come on.
No, nothing that big.
Light
where do we find that safe?
Where
do we find that safe?
The safest thing you can find is just a ruin with about three wall or four walls and no one of them barely standing and no roof.
Okay.
But at least it puts a wall between you and whatever roams the outside.
Okay, so I walk over and lay my shield and flail down, but keep the warhammer and dagger nearby. And I sit down and I motion to Adrian to sit in front of me.
Okay. Yeah. And you ask her to give the party her story?
No, I'm just saying we're going to cast the spell. Okay. I need you to talk directly to me. Yeah. Tell the absolute truth. I will know if you're offering a falsehood. I will be able to
truth,
tell.
Truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So he'll help you die next.
Not necessarily, but yes.
So help me die next.
I put my hands on my, I'm sitting kind of crisscross. I said, put my hands on my knees and summon die next power, and a white ward lights up along the ground in a 30-foot circle centered on me and her. And then,
so these radiant energies just sort of
encapsulate
go and encircle actually pretty much the whole lot of you.
Yeah.
So now would be a really good time to find out if Alistair really had kissed Allie McBeal behind the behind the school like he said. So,
what? Oh my gosh, you're such a liar.
So, a simple question: it is your name, Adri, and you feel compelled to say
yes.
Okay.
Or you can
try to tell a lie. Is your name Gurnball?
No.
And as she does that, you feel that.
No, she just told the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Exactly. No. As soon as you touch up to say no, you realize you can't. It's very difficult. Yes. That's where you would roll for your save.
Okay. Okay. You roll the save initially, and if you succeed, you can lie, and if you fail, you
but I
have to tell.
That is exactly what I just said, just without so much technicality.
Gotta be technical about these things.
If you're comfortable, please tell us your story.
My mother was a concubine to a lord in the Underdark. I was already set apart from all of my other Drowish siblings, cousins, whatever evil filth you want to call them. I was not driven by the self-centeredness that all other Drow are driven by. I was compelled more by my human side. All my other siblings were already spoken for. So by the time I came of age, my father decided to marry me off to a Drowish lord. That was the point that I refused to continue in this life any further. So I ran away. Ended up in the woods, almost died. My monk master saved me.
Master Chill.
Master Chill.
Okay. At any point, do you have plans to follow the supposed Drow way of whatever murder trickery that your compatriots have accused you of?
I never wanted to. Never will.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
No one is it sure you wear women's underwear?
I wear no underwear.
That's more horrifying.
But to let it be known. If any of you two were to harm a hair on her head, I would kill you. And I say this freely in the zone of truth.
All things she said is, as said before, die next power and judgment. She is telling the truth.
He's really planned this.
That might be the first time no one ever says anything that makes Gurnball laugh. So, thank you for answering my questions.
Yeah, 50 Shades of No One.
Oh my god.
You're called Black.
I don't want a part of that.
Dynex power fades and the zone dissipates.
So obviously, everybody here, aside of Adri, is a little shocked and taken aback still that your friend wasn't exactly what she said she was, but...
That's the credit you're taking
back. Actions always speak louder than words.
Yeah.
Saves me some time in the morning.
Yeah. Well,
you use these goodly types, true weapons.
You'll probably still have to cloak yourself when you're around the general public.
You could use that to our advantage.
Well I have wrappings too. It's not just the makeup. The majority of it was like gloves.
You might be able to show yourself as Drow and like intimidate goblins or something.
I'm gonna have to go find a Drow mini of a monk. That would be awesome.
Or just get like a monk mini and then paint the face black or something.
Charcoal.
Yeah.
Gray. What's the difference between charcoal and
charcoal's like really dark gray.
Yeah.
Almost a black, but not quite.
Almost black, but kind of like something that's black that has dust on it or something.
And you guys, from what you've heard of the Drow, now that you've heard her story, can only imagine what it must have been like to have been, you know, black skin, but not quite black skin. You know, having white hair, but not perfectly pure white hair, having these eyes that don't match anybody else's. It must have set her completely apart.
And on top of that, a human name.
Yes.
Sally.
Or okay.
Bertha. Gunda.
Is this a safe enough place, do you think, for 8 hours rest?
Well, you certainly feel so. Spent about now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to camp like 20 feet away from everybody.
That could be dangerous.
I also don't want to kill them in my sleep.
That's true, too.
Why would you kill them in my sleep?
Oh.
It's high detective, yeah.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
It must be good, the laundry.
I actually just never know what's going to happen, fortunately.
At some point, you should just, like, not say anything.
Okay. So,
He has a sign.
Okay, so, you're going to go just bed down and go to sleep and let everybody come back and after the fireball kills you?
Yep.
Okay, so he goes to. So why don't you give us a roll as you knock off to sleep? Does anybody have any hit die left that they can use or need to use?
No.
Yes. I have two more.
Okay, you can use one of those right away then.
Yay! Okay. Okay.
Don't forget that your constitution bonus you have.
Either way, it was more than enough.
So once again, you feel the control of the chaos slip away as you.
I am transported to the astral plane until the end of my next turn. After a which of time, I return to the space I previously occupied or the nearest occupied space if that space is occupied.
So you guys, that's cool. If anybody's keeping an eye on Arlen.
Oh, I'm keeping an eye on
him. He nods off to sleep in his bedroll, at which time his bedroll, the blankets just flump to the ground as if he's not there.
You hear this cut off.
in mid-snore, and then a few moments later he reappears on top of the bedroll, tosses fitfully, wakes up, realizes he's cold, and
I'll take first watch.
Okay, yeah, give me your watch schedule, please.
Second.
Actually, if I could take first watch, I'd rather have some insurance on my goodliness.
The dagger's never gone off with you.
That's true, but
so
she also never entered the...
You can stay up with me if you want.
Okay. Whatever. Makes them feel better.
Perhaps.
Now, in their defense, Adrian, it's not like any of them were concealing who they were the whole time. So you can only feel, kind of in yourself that...
Only... No. We don't know if they've been concealing who they are.
Okay, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. But
yeah.
But you have no evidence at this point, so you do feel for them a little bit, having this rude shock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel for them at all. I don't judge you. You're just speaking. But this is coming from somebody who came to tell you who they are.
And I understand, and that's why I'm trying to do more good than
so,
I normally would have.
What's the watch schedule?
Evidently, Adri and Gurnval are first. I guess no one said you want second, and then we need one more of a third.
There you
go. Paladin.
Okay. So, who's third again?
Me.
Okay, I'll start. So, Adrian. Grinwald, the only thing that disturbs your watch, you hear a small rustling by the doorway. And do you have dark vision?
I do.
Everybody but him does.
Okay.
I have the dagger.
Yeah. the dagger does not go off, and you don't see anything. Adrian, you see a small gray fox's face poke around the corner of the doorway, sort of look around and then and immediately take off.
That's nice now. That's
kind of
cool.
No one, nothing comes to bother you in the night. How do you wake Alistair when you turn to...
Wait, hang on just a second. Do I detect anything particularly interesting about that gray fox?
Give me a perception roll.
13.
Nope, it looks like Gray Fox to you.
It looks twice now, but anyways.
So how do I wake Alistair?
Yeah.
Gently, but as he comes to, I just remind him, naked, bound, and afraid.
Sounds like a weird TV show.
Which sounds like a really great TV show.
No, weird TV show.
Before we woke no one, I slipped the dagger to Adrian. Said, just for peace of mind, for rest.
Thank you.
Okay. And Alistair, nothing bothers you on your watch. And dawn slowly breaks over the ruins. Okay, so you guys, and actually, one thing I realized that we've been doing it, but we haven't been calling it out. So I thought it'd be nice to kind of make that clear. For those of you that have to prepare spells, what are you preparing each day?
You want just the ones I don't automatically get?
Yes, exactly. The ones you actually have to prepare. Obviously, the ones that come with your domain and things like that.
Healing Word, Detect Magic, Sanctuary, and then Prayer of Healing.
Okay.
Cure Wounds, Protection from Evil and Good, Thunderous Smite, and Purify Food and Drink.
Okay. Thank you, Grimble, Alistair. And then, Arlen, you just get spells, right? You don't have to prepare
it. Would.
And same thing for Adrian Owen. You just have your...
Yeah, we just have
our spells. I think the way your spells work is whatever spells you chose, you're stuck with those to you level.
Yeah.
Then you can pick all new ones.
Yeah, I can exchange one to be
level overnight.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Speaking of leveling, did we level up overnight?
No.
Gosh, you guys are so obsessed with level 5.
Yeah! We get cool stuff at level 5.
Well, maybe that's why I'm not excited, because I don't get anything really different.
Two attacks.
Well, the nice thing is that the Dungeon Master wouldn't, you know, just drag this out just...
Nothing like him at all.
Yeah. Okay, so the day arrives, you guys break out some trail rations. You're actually able to supplement with some of the... There's actually...
Gray fox meat?
Yeah, I hunted the gray fox.
There's actual, like, you know... like somebody's wild run-amok garden is growing, you know, into the thing. So there's like peas and beans and cool. And things like that that have begun to bloom early in the season. Radishes and so forth. So you get a little bit of fresh food along with your jerky and dried fruit nuts and all that stuff. Okay. And what are we going to do?
What was that?
I guess, we're still on the... far side of the bridge, right? Or did we actually...
You never made it across the bridge.
We never made it across.
In through that gateway there.
Oh, great. Okay. So I guess we got to still try.
This time I'm going to hand a piece of rope out to Adri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still going to go first.
Tie it off to yourself.
Teeny.
How about one at a time?
One at a time. I'll go first.
It was one at a time last time. It just didn't work out. Okay.
Trying this again. Okay. I will still...
Question. Real quick question. Did you bother with your makeup this morning?
I think here, really, I'm not that concerned about it.
Yeah, so this is the first time we're really seeing you.
I didn't bother with the makeup. My wrappings are still on just out of habit. and because they were probably still on. But yeah, still have my cloak, put the hood back on.
So
and
it takes a little getting used to for all the rest of you guys, but Gerville's
kind of like no one on this. I just don't care.
Yeah. Well, even for you, it takes a little bit of getting used to.
It looks like a different person.
Yeah, just as if someone had been replaced by somebody that's blue or something like that. And, you know,
which I can do.
I'm brass.
By the way.
Actually, if you turn blue, you're staying blue for a while.
Until level 3. Level 5.
What happened? Oh, yeah.
I get third level spells that I can get remove curse.
Or like you. Well, we're used to him changing randomly with beards of feathers and stuff.
Attacks, though.
All right, so... I guess we've made our way to the back to the bridge, right?
Yep.
So I'll
staring across at this scene here with the.
So I'll tie the rope around my waist, put my hood back up, and I'll attempt to cross again.
Are you gonna pass without a trace?
Pass without a trace.
How many? You have 4, right?
I have 4 again.
Why don't you just do regular stealth, and if you see something we need to stealth, then you come back and do it. Otherwise, save the key points.
Okay, that's fair.
I have disadvantage either way.
Okay.
So
just regular stealth then. So that's.
You get advantage.
That's true. Yeah, but it's the same thing. Okay.
Just so you know, guys, I got glared at.
So, what is your stealth total?
11.
Okay.
Would have been 21, but that's fine.
Okay, so Adri goes across there. Are you going to step upon the log that rolled the last time?
I'll avoid the rolling log.
Okay. So you stick to the other logs that cross the gap, and Are you holding the rope or tied around you?
It's tied around me.
Okay. And she makes it to the other side without any trouble this time.
Right. And
steering clear of the bad log.
While I'm on the other side, now, is there anything I could tie the rope off so people have something to help guide them across the...
There really isn't, because as you can see, this was an old gatehouse, and they're deliberately designed not to have projections and stuff that you can tie stuff to.
Okay. So I guess I'll just stand there, help be a support.
Keeping track of where she walked, I'll just try to follow the same path I'm going next. If it holds my weight, it'll hold everyone else's weight.
And everyone going carefully, you're able to make it across without any real trouble. And you guys step in through the gateway to the palace. So where you're standing, where once stood a drawbridge, only stonework still lasts. The barbican opens like a dark maw. If there was a drawbridge, gate, or portcullis, they are long gone. On your side of the bridge, the stonework ends in a jagged, eroded edge. Apparently, you are not the only ones that have desired entry to the high seat. Several down trees have been placed across a gap to allow access to the palace. So are you going through the gatehouse?
Yes. Mindful of the murder hole at the top.
So it opens up into a wonder. It is probably several hundred feet across, almost the size of a football field across, and maybe 1,000 feet side to side. And apparently... as you exit the barbican, you enter a wide open space between the outer walls and the palace. Clearly, this was the gardens. Marble avenues separate once planted areas. The crumbling remains of stone curbs no longer contain neatly manicured planters. Now a riot of overgrown vegetation. The great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of ornamental trees, now grown up to full size, overrun the curbs and crack the pavement. Interstitial lawns have become jungles of tangled plants. Still, even this dilapidated state, the grandeur, is evident. In your mind's eye, you can guess what it must have looked like, and it puts to shame anything you might find today. Now that you are inside the outer wall, you have your first look at the palace inside. Time has not been kind to it. It appears that the entire south side of the palace has collapsed entirely. Amazingly, even after 10 centuries, part of the north side of the palace still seems to have a roof on it. Further, the windows that look out to you from that part of the palace seem to be intact, whereas the rest of the windows in parts of the palace that have not collapsed entirely yawn blackly at you. So across the gardens, you can see what must have been the grand entrance to the palace, a series of wide steps, maybe 50 feet wide, and then... three or four steps up into the yawning gates of the entrance hall.
How do we want to get there? If
carefully.
Well, if there's this bridge, we could be walking into an ambush.
You've made it over the bridge.
Well, but if there's a bridge, if someone, there could be other people or things here.
And in fact, you do see lots and lots of footsteps. None of them fresh, but clearly people have been in and out of this gatehouse.
What kind of footsteps?
Give me a survival roll.
Yeah, I'm going to look, too.
9.
Non-natural 20.
Okay. They look like footsteps to you. They're definitely bipeds. Adri, you see claw marks as if maybe the lizard folk have been here. But you also see what looked to be bipedal feet of maybe humans or half-elves or maybe even those lizard people. There's also some other tracks you can't really quite figure out. So neither of these things that you've seen, but clearly multiple races of people have been in and out of this doorway.
Okay. And am I able to see what the freshest...
It's kind of tough to tell because it's very tropical here, so it's very moist.
Things kind of squished out.
Yeah, and really, they're just in the accumulated dust and debris of centuries that have collected here in the gatehouse.
Okay. All right, so we want to try to get to the actual palace.
I think we have to.
Yeah.
Start making. Perception check or see if there's like a trail or a path or a walkway that leads.
Seems like the grand entryway.
It seems like most have gone just straight up the avenue between the gardens to the grand entryway, but there also are tracks that lead off into the various portions. And like I said, it's a grand gardens. So there's, you know, imagine, you know, the Palace of Versailles 10 times over.
I'd say straight ahead and careful as we go.
Is there a way we should walk to avoid, like, all of us getting ambushed or falling into a trap?
Like maybe a more concealed path?
Or like just spread?
We could keep 5 feet between each of us.
Like something like this.
Okay. And do you want to go straight at the middle or do you want to do the winding path? Which one did you want to do?
Straight through, probably.
I think I'll take straight through.
Yeah.
Hit it a little straight up the middle?
Okay.
Okay. So you obviously creeping forward in a cautious fashion.
Perception check, just in case there is anything left.
Definitely give me.
Not the best. 13.
You do not notice anything at this point.
Move forward cautiously.
Okay, and you make it up to the wall of the palace proper. And up the steps and into the entry hall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, whatever doors or gates grace the entrance to the palace are long ago lost to the ages. Tracks, old and new, leading in and out, let you know that you aren't the only ones who have come here looking for something. As you stand in the entranceway, you see in front of you two great bronze doors that lean crazily against each other at an angle, barely holding on to their frames. The tracks lead through the man-sized gap between the valves. And in addition to those big 20-foot wide bronze doors in front of you, there's also a doorway to your right that seems to be intact. The doorway to your left has been broken open by a cascade of debris, and you can see through the pile of debris just more debris. And apparently the whole, like I said, the entire south side of the palace seems to have collapsed.
And we didn't notice that? Oh, wait, it's inside the wall. Never mind.
Yeah.
We didn't notice that from all these times we passed over.
Cautiously walk inside, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
And this room is, once again, about 50 feet by 50 feet square. And like we said, this just the grandeur of this place puts anything you guys have seen to shame. It makes Civitas Cataracta look like a backcountry hut.
Makes you wonder what happened to all these people left here.
Yeah, those of you that have been to Portum Magnum, even as grand as that is, nothing nearly on this scale.
Is that the waterfall?
So we just counteract this waterfall. Portum Magnum is the great gates on the very east of the of the map there.
Portum Magnum is the great gate, so we haven't done
that. We didn't go there.
Yeah.
It's weird.
All right, is there a way that we can discern where the throne room is?
Maybe through the big, huge doors?
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
20 foot wide, as tall as the room
all
is.
All right, that seems like a good place to go. Is there maybe an alternative route that we could take?
Not that you can see, unless you want to go through the doorway to the south and then into the debris pile.
I just want to just real quickly just kind of look at the debris pile, see if anything of interest is just sticking out of it.
So you poke your nose into the door frame there, and basically the door, it's a fine opulent wooden door, or at least it was 1,000 years ago.
Right.
And it was basically just sort of pushed open and crushed by a cascade of you know, falling bits of stone. As apparently the south end of the palace came down. And so, as you can imagine, it's almost like looking at a cave-in where you are looking at, you know, just a ramp of small blocks of stone that have, you know, cascaded through this doorway.
Okay.
And so you're kind of looking up. There's really only about a foot's gap between the bottom of the debris and the top of the doorway frame, and you can just see it just goes onto an even bigger pile of debris in that direction.
Okay. Front door.
Front door.
Remember, we're here to
find
answer
it.
The first part of the riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you read that to us?
The name of your foe is known to one. In the high throne she sits, though her day is done.
So,
let's go take a look. Knock, knock. Through the door we go. Yes, Sir Paladin?
Your foe is also in the Vale of the Elves, only to be found by those who've been delves that...
Mm. Not that I know of. Just as confusing to me.
Well, one step at a time, let's just do what we got right now. Everyone keep an eye out for anything.
Right.
Especially those lizard guys. No, not me.
Well, you do have a sneaky, sneaky person with you if you want
you
to
wanna,
send her in.
Well,
wanna...
I can go ahead. Yeah.
Like, right. What could possibly
this
now
time,
might
this
be
time
good
I'm
going
to cast Pass Without a Trace. Right? And I will don my hood once more.
Okay. Give me a stealth roll.
Be careful.
Well, that's a good thing.
You still have advantage.
That
roll
would
again.
Be 21.
Roll again. Give
oh, I have advantage. You're right.
See how very high you can possibly get it.
Okay, 25.
Okay. So she pulls her hood up. And once again, seems to almost blend in with the stone as she makes her way across the floor. And you briefly see her at the gap in the two giant bronze valves. And then you see her drop her hood and motion for you to join her and steps through the gap between the doors.
Let's go.
Let's go.
And it's a pretty amazing sight, the throne room, even in this dilapidated state.
Where's the throne?
Where's the throne?
So as you slip between the giant bronze valves, you can't help but be impressed. Even in this decay, the royal hall of the great kingdom is awe-inspiring. 100 feet wide and half again as long, it must have held an enormous court. The few ribs that still stand suggest that the ceiling would have soared nearly as high. Now only a part of the north wall still stands. Stains on the wall hint at fixtures that would have held opulent banners and tapestries. To the west, a three-tiered dais of black stone still stands, but the thrones and everything else of value have disappeared in the intervening ages. Even the tumble-down stone from the collapsed parts of the palace seem to have been taken, perhaps to build palaces of your time. Now all that is left is pitted marble flooring and the north wall to speak of the greatness that once was. So you can just see the north wall still stands,
mm-hmm.
Just debris over here, but like we said, it's just almost completely clean, aside of just debris and dirt, but even tumbled down blocks of stone seem to have been taken from here, maybe to make... other buildings in this day and age.
Well, certainly no throne.
Yeah, that's obviously where the throne was. At
walk
some
over
point.
To it. And
yeah.
Look down at it.
Gonna walk up onto the dais?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no... A millennia later, there's no evidence of where the thrones once sat, other than they must have been here.
Maybe this can't have been a useless trip. Is there anything
or
that
maybe
we...
at night or in the moonlight it reveals? It's...
Yeah, there was something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
No, never mind.
Yeah, that was that was the
star.
That was the
Oracle.
The Oracle. Yeah. Had to do with moonlight. So I guess can you
make a call to a friendly Joe? You
might. I can make a call to
friendly
Joe.
That's a good idea. The friendly Joe.
The friendly Joe.
Okay.
Some lore.
Offer you the water skin. If you need water for the bowl, I'll give you the water skin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You fill the water skin up and call out Galchabar's name. And the friendly face of Galchabar appears in profile as he's working away at apparently his alchemical setup in his tower. And as usual, he becomes aware of your interest, you know, starts looking around, ends up pouring way too much of whatever was in his hand in the blue vial into the pink vial, which then turns orange, starts foaming up. The foam starts, encompassing his hand. He drops it, in alarm, and it instantly turns into this orange vapor, which floats up into the air out of your view. And you see him quickly fish out the... the bowl and fills it up with water, and you see him mouthing your name, and he looks into it and says, "Ah, hello, my young sorcerer. How do you do? I hope you are well. I've not talked to you for days."
Yes, congratulations on your new elixir, by the way.
Just a trifle I was playing with. A little too much, and it all evaporates, I'm afraid. But if you get it right, it's a tasty drink. The idea is to make it just slightly more evaporative than the outside air, so as soon as it hits your tongue, it disappears.
Anyway, we are at the Seat of Heaven.
Oh my goodness. How is it? I've been ages since I've been there.
It's very beautiful, but it's pretty broken down.
Yes, yes. But even in its decay, the evidence of the Old Kingdom is awe-inspiring. You can only imagine what it must have seen back in its day. Ships going in and out, in and out. You've been to the docks, have you?
Not yet.
Oh, you must go.
We are currently in the throne room.
Oh, and what have you found?
A room with nothing in it.
I would be afraid of such. For 1,000 years it has stood, and suffered the depredations of the raiders that wish to come and pick the bones of the dead.
We're trying to find out what to do with the first verse of our riddle.
But what does it say?
In the name of your foe is known to one. In the high throne she sits, though her day is done.
Ah, yes. Well, the only thing I can think of is the entire palace was known as the High Seat. So perhaps she is still to be found somewhere, or perhaps it doesn't refer to her at all.
Maybe though her day is done, could equate to time being passed off. I mean, just mean like maybe the grand bedchamber, yes.
Yeah. Is anybody else does anybody else have any other input?
You said you've been here before. What can you tell us about the layout of the castle?
Oh, it'd be rather like trying to tell you every street and alley in Porta Magnum. It's huge.
Assuming you're not looking into the mirror as you say this.
and actually,
over here.
it'd be like, I do remember the whole south part of the castle having crumbled in, although strangely, the north part still seems intact a millennia later.
Yeah.
And by the way, let me say, it's good to see you with your proper face on finally. I hope it did not cause any troubles with your party.
I couldn't say that much.
Very good.
So, is there any lore of where the queen may have fell? Or how?
If there are such as lost to the annals of time.
While you guys are doing this, can I do like an investigation check just around the walls?
Sure, give me an investigation roll.
Oh, that's horrible. 5.
The walls seem to be completely solid.
Darn. Stone Walker just like tapping on them.
All right. Well, we're just going to have to search.
I'm thinking the north part of the castle.
With the door that's not currently blocked off.
Yes.
The part that's still standing.
Yes.
Yeah. Just because it's not standing doesn't mean we couldn't.
Well, there is a door on the north wall of the entrance hall that you guys hadn't checked out.
Well, let's go back and check that out.
Let's go back and check it out.
It is good to talk with you again.
And you, my sorcerer, please contact me again soon and appraise me of your continuing developments.
Nod and wave my hand over the bowl.
Okay. So, you're going to go back to the entrance hall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there is, in fact, still an intact door there, although it, you know, the wood laminate has peeled long ago and it hangs in tatters, but the door itself seems to still be, you know, at least intact.
All right. You want me to go first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay, slightly better. Okay, 30.
Okay, so you just...
Oh no, slightly better.
You just slowly crack the door open and take a look inside. And crack is the right word, too. It actually makes some creaking, cracking sounds as you move it on its hinges, but It still seems to hang onto the hinges. Doesn't fall upon you.
That's good.
And you see a room that is probably about 25 by maybe about 40 feet long. And it's barren inside. You presume that this room must have been used for courtiers to meet outside court, and remarkably it still stands. But whatever contents the room once held are long gone. Now the room is just filled with garbage and detritus.
Are there any other doors that you can see?
Not in this room, no.
Oh, okay. I guess go back to the...
Is there any other doors?
Other doors what?
I'm sorry, was it four solid walls, no other doors leading
yeah,
out?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this room just is off the main entrance way.
So, and presumably the other door on the south side that had the collapsed debris coming through is something similar, where the courtiers would meet outside of court itself.
So we're going to have to step back outside and find another way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess go back outside, go to the more northern parts of the castle.
Okay. And you go back out into the gardens there. And the wall in front of you is somewhat intact. For the first 50 feet or so. For the next 100 feet, it seems to be in pretty bad shape, pitted, and the top is bowed, and you get the feeling that there's nothing but ruins there behind it. But then amazingly, for the last 150 feet or so of the wall, before you come to the ruined northern part of the outside wall, it seems to be still relatively intact. The windows are still in their places, and the roof is still on it, and the walls even don't seem to be as pitted as they once were. Certainly nothing like the damage you've seen on the southern side.
There's gotta be something
totally
keeping
it's
this
like
up.
The lavatory
are we
or something
inside or outside this room?
Like an upstairs.
You're outside in the gardens right now.
Okay, is there an obvious way in?
There definitely is not. There's just windows, and you can imagine, you know, being a royal palace, that the access to it must have been controlled. So the windows here are all about, 10 feet off the ground.
Mm.
And so, you know, someone couldn't just walk up and smash a window in and gain access to the palace.
Adria, you want to boost?
Sure.
Boost Adria up to the window just to look in.
Okay. And
I read.
Yeah, the windows are obviously dusty and grimy after all this time,
mm-hmm.
but amazingly enough, looking in the window there, you actually see a parlor. You see velvet couches and tables, ornate carpet on the floor. Draperies still hang on the windows, seemingly still intact. Even portraits on the walls, and you know, like decorative swords hung over the doorways.
Alrighty. Is there a way to get in? Break the window. I don't want to go in there by myself.
You're gonna try to break the window?
Yeah.
There's no other way in.
Nothing
we can see.
Oh, great.
Out of
okay.
character. Is it just me, or are you guys also getting Castle to Amberville flashback?
I don't know what that is.
In the
no,
library,
but I know
candlestick.
What that
are the windows?
There's a murder in the library
open?
With a candlestick.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Every so long.
Is the window pop? It can be opened.
It appears to be locked from the inside.
All right.
Does
well,
anyone have like mage hand or something they can open that up with?
Uh huh.
You
do. You really?
Uh huh.
Okay,
want to boost?
Yeah.
Don't you have to have a line of effect, though? I mean...
Let's re-up.
Yeah.
256.
Well, I mean, if you can see, you might be able to...
Yeah, that's true. If you can see through, it's all he needs to probably do.
Mage hand.
Got it. Oh, you already got it.
One action, 1 minute. Spectral floating hand appears at a point I choose within range. The hand lasts for the duration or
somehow,
until I
as long as he can see in the window, he can have it on the other side of the window, come back and unlock the window.
I can use a hand to manipulate an object, open an unlocked door or container, store or retrieve an item from an open container, pour liquids of a vial. I can move the hand, and I can't carry more than 10 pounds.
Well, and did it say it just had to have line of sight? What did it say?
Any spot that he could see within range.
A clear path only is required if it's targeting something.
And it's just a...
Yeah, so he could
reach. It's just like, it just appears.
But could it appear on the other side
yes,
of the window?
It just said that. As long as he can see the opening.
What
like,
did it say? I'm sorry.
If this was the window, this is him, he can see here, he can make the thing appear here.
Okay. A spectral floating hand appears at a point you choose within range.
Okay.
What's your range?
So yeah, there's no 30 target. Feet.
So there, yeah. So he could do it.
Okay.
So lower Adri down,
like,
boost.
Yeah, I can like unlock something.
Okay.
So lower Adri down, boost Arlen up, do your thing.
Cast Matt Mage Hand and unlock the window.
Okay, so the spectral hand appears in the
draws a smiley
room
face.
And floats back and you...
That's Bigby's hand.
Yeah.
Bigby's offending hand. Yeah. And you guys you slowly open up the clasp on it and
spring for it, I get knocked off.
And you're able to push the window open.
Yeah.
All right.
You should crawl in.
Toss the rope up to the hand, have the hand have the rope off. So you can do that too, right?
How heavy is the rope?
Not 10 pounds.
It's not
it would
pounds.
Be
yeah.
like
yeah.
maybe 8 tops.
Yeah.
Although
have the rope tie it off to something very secure.
One-handed.
Yeah.
So you might
want to
tie
it.
It's a magical hand. Come on, man. Let's not over
it. It can phase through itself.
It has like 6 fingers. It could like.
Yeah.
So it does a one-handed bowling knot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
around the
yeah.
the.
And it can phase through itself because it's magical.
Right. Would you like me to go up first? Again.
Oh, he's like right.
I'm
there.
Like already
yeah,
there.
Already
so
there.
I can climb through.
Okay.
Can you see anything?
Can I see anything?
Yes.
So,
and as he's looking, I push him through the window.
So. As you open the window,
thuds just breaks
Arlen
through
and gaze around. It's as if you have stepped back into the time of the old kingdom. Age seems not to have affected this room in the least. Dust doesn't even seem to have fallen here. You are looking on a parlor, comfortable velvet couches and end tables surround an ornate carpet. Luxurious draperies border the windows. Cross swords of ancient design sit in brackets over the two doors and the hearth. Several portraits of nobles in ancient garb dot the walls. And the room is about 100 feet on a side. It's huge. And so there's multiple, all these things. There are these large windows about every 20 feet on both the south and north and east walls. And to your left on the south wall, there is a single door. And to the west, opposite of where you're coming in, is a pair of double doors, all of very ornate wood parquet design.
What do you see?
There's nothing in here yet.
You're getting heavy.
I climbed through the window.
Thank you.
I mean, you're like 8 feet tall. You can stand on your shoulders.
I could, yeah, well... You're still getting heavy. Strength check to get in, acrobatics, athletics.
Well,
presumably everybody else is climbing up.
Actually, before we do that, as you come through the door, Arlen,
the window,
uh-huh.
All of a sudden, the rug on the floor,
oh no,
jumps up and curls around and flies at you, and the swords that are crossed over the entrances.
You got this.
All of a sudden, come to life and also fly right at you.
So glad I didn't go first.
Can I like fling myself?
And you guys can just hear noises happening inside the room. And that's where we're going to stop. Well, that was interesting. It got a little dicey between the characters there. Adri's big reveal caused some more schisms than even we perhaps thought. Although I think even for Nilwan and for Gurnval, the presence of a drow suddenly popping up in the party would have been a little more disturbing than even they let on. For the half-elves, though, it would be rather like discovering a spy in your midst if you were working at the Pentagon. So I thought the players did a pretty good job with that. We'll have to see how it shakes out as more backstories come to light. It'll be quite interesting. From behind the Dungeon Master screen, when Jessie, and remember she's a brand new player to Dungeons & Dragons, approached me with the idea of a half-drow character, here is the power of the yes, but, instead of saying no. We sat down and we figured out how this would all shake out, and then pointed out to her that drow aren't in good stead, and she was going to have to hide that from everybody. So it's made for a real interesting situation in the first 30-some episodes. But, once again, the power of the yes but created a much more interesting character. As for the mention of Castle D'Amberville there on towards the end, back during the playtest, this group, or mostly this group, was playtesting, and we converted Castle D'Amberville X2, the old AD&D module, or actually expert D&D module, for 5th edition, and went through that to see how it would work out. And it did pretty good. But there was one scene that they were talking about. Now, Drew's last name is Peacock. No, really, it really is. Isn't that cool? And they got to the scene in the module where they get to the library, and the gal that they found who's been buried alive in the chapel shrieks into a rage, runs over and tries to throttle her brother, who apparently is the one who buried her alive. Anyways, just then the dice rolled in my favor, and Drew rolled high initiative. So he runs over there to try to restrain her from throttling her brother, and I asked him to do a perception check, which he did, and he got a high number. And I said, you notice that the candlestick next to you is glowing slightly. So he takes a bait and he says, I pick it up and I hit her with it. And I tell him that there's this resounding clap of thunder and she falls dead to the floor. And then I turn to the rest of the players and I said, you realize what just happened, don't you? And they all look at me with blank faces. And I said, the murderer was Mr. Peacock in the library with the candlestick. And we all had a good laugh. Anyways, seems like the party has patched things up, and they've actually found the castle, the palace, but it doesn't seem to have much there to help them with their quest until they got into this room, and then the room started attacking. So Arlen's inside, everyone else is outside. We're going to have to see what happens in the next episode. Until then, let us know what you think. Rate us on iTunes. Email us at relicofthepastpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us at Relic of the Past on Twitter and Relic of the Past Podcast on Facebook. Articles and artwork are available at poolmedia.podbean.com. And thank you for playing in the world that lives inside my head.